Well, Edward stole some of my thunder just now, but it's okay. You can hear it twice. Turn to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Dr. Cook, Mrs. Cook, we are honored to have you with us. And thankful to God that the surgery went well. It's good to see your faces. I'm going to try to talk loudly so that you can hear me. But nobody really ever accuses me of being quiet anyway, so I won't have to try hard. 135. Basically, this morning is a reminder of something that you know already. You know it already. Psalm 135, verses 5 through 7. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from His storehouses. Amen. Listen, God's glory in nature is inescapable, especially as it relates to major weather events, earthquakes, floods, fires, rainstorms, whirlwinds, tornadoes, hurricanes. When these things come, if you've seen any videos, some people left GoPro cameras on in their house and with internet access to the camera while they themselves evacuated, and they logged in to watch what was happening at their house. And if you've seen any of that, or if you've ever been in these major storms before, it is a dreadful thing. The sound that houses make when there's a 150-mile-an-hour wind outside, it just watching the GoPro video, like, sank into my bones. Like, oh, I do not want to be in that spot. And it gives us an understanding of how small we are. Tiny. Even things that people have worked their whole lives to build up is washed away in a second by the power of God. And really, how impotent man's power can be. Is man powerful? Yes. We're able even to subdue killer whales and make them jump and hit balls at our command. But we are still very small. And we're really not as powerful as we think we are. And these storms and winds, they remind us, God is above all gods. He is powerful. His power is inescapable. He restrains, but if He decides to stir up the wind, there's no stopping it. There's no stopping it. The scripture that we just read said, He makes clouds form. Why did the hurricane come? Because God makes clouds form. Why is there lightning and thunder in the heavens? Because God charges up the sky and sends down bolts of energy to the earth. Why does the wind spin and shake? Because God lets out the wind from His storehouses. Don't believe what the world says about this, if they do believe in God, a benevolent God. They'll say He didn't want this to happen. This is the power of Satan at work in the world. And there may be a little tiny bit of truth there. If you read the book of Job, there's a discussion about afflicting Job. God says, okay, go ahead. And then the next chapter we read, a mighty wind came and blew down the house and fell on the people and killed them. Well, where did the wind come from? God is the first cause, definitely. But was Satan the instrument of that wind? Seems to suggest that. But it doesn't matter. We're talking about the first cause. Why is the wind stirring up? Why do tornadoes come through and wipe out a house? These whirlwinds and tornadoes and hurricanes, they come forth at the command of God. It's not, he didn't wind it up and now he's got a hands-off approach. That's not biblical. He upholds the whole universe by the word of his power. If he stops working, it all will, entropy will happen instantly and the whole universe will fall into chaos. He is always aware and working and doing. And when you see these mighty storms that can come in and dump 25 inches of rain in a city in one day, we ought to be in awe and fear. We ought to be in fear of Almighty God. Sometimes we get lulled into a false sense of security, like you've mentioned before. Is he safe? Is God safe? No, he's not safe. If you're his beloved, that is a beautiful place to be. There's no one that can overpower him to get to you. But ought you to be in awe and even holy fear, godly fear? Your lives can be taken in an instant. And listen, these last couple hurricanes, how quickly we forget. These are just a couple of a long line of natural disasters that have been plaguing the earth or manifesting themselves on the earth by the power of God for thousands of years. God continually reminds humanity, I am in charge. Build up your great cities. I'll send a tiny crack into your city and destroy the whole thing in 10 seconds. Do you see how we ought to look at these things? Pause, reflect. And if you think about it, when it happens, we always, isn't the question in your mind, at least for a moment, why? Why? Lord, for a while they thought maybe Irma was going to go to the Gulf Coast. And I was thinking, for a moment at least, Lord, we've seen your power. Now all humanity is rallying together and we're loving our neighbor and we're going to that area and trying to recover. Why would you send another hurricane back to back? But listen, the temptation is there to think, A, that God's wrong in what he would decide to do, which is not true, because he's never wrong. If he decides to do it, it is right. Because he decides what's right. He is altogether righteous. If he does it, it's right. But we might think, why there, Lord? Or why here? Or why at this time? Is Houston exceedingly wicked? The people in Dallas, they say, I never liked Houston. This judgment. And I'd have to say, hold on, Houston's not that bad. I lived there for a long time. Or is Rockport, Texas, the modern day Sodom? Maybe. But no more than Parker, Texas. I mean, is Florida the modern day Gomorrah? I was thinking about all the older people that live in Florida and the difficulties of trying to evacuate even. Or if you've watched the news, this has not been covered much, but there are humongous fires that are burning right now in Montana and the Pacific Northwest. There are 80 large fires at the moment, burning 200 2,200 square miles of forest is on fire right now in the moment. People who live in Denver, Colorado are wearing masks because of the ash and smoke that's pouring in from the Pacific Northwest. Talking 800 miles away, 1,000 miles away. Are those areas more wicked? Is this a fire of judgment? Waters of judgment? And really, the answer is maybe. Maybe. It is true that we reap what we sow. And these cities and these areas that are being afflicted surely are sinful and deserving of the wrath of God. It is true. But it's also true that God is patient and He restrains His anger every day. And sometimes He decides to strike out in wrath. And if and when He does, He's certainly justified in doing so. They've earned it. But having said that, Edward and I read an article this week that I think is a timely reminder. Very timely reminder. Let's review it together. Turn to Luke chapter 13. And the thought is, Lord, why is this happening? And why to them? Or as the people in Pearland, Texas are saying, why to us? What did we do? And we'll read verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 13. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, that is Jesus, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Verse 4, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So listen, I hope that this rings in your ear. So that apparently there's a group of Galileans that are put to death by Pilate that seemed to have been in the process of offering sacrifices to God in the temple. Possibly even slain in the temple so that the blood of them even mixed with the offerings that they had just offered up to God. And if something like that happened, there's a tendency to think that is divine judgment. These worshipers must not have been that sincere in their hearts. Why would God allow such a thing to happen for people who are truly seeking Him? But Jesus says that it's not because they're any more wicked. You see that? Verse 2. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others because they suffered like this? You might think that. What a horrific thing to happen. Jesus says, no. The reason is not because they're more wicked than others. Persecution happens. Bad things happen. And Jesus flips it around immediately. Do you see? If you don't repent, you will perish too. They're not more wicked than you. All people are caught up under sin. Repent, or you will perish. If not in this moment, in the next moment. And if not in that moment, in 10 years of moments later. Terrible things happen. It is an opportunity to reflect on the brevity of our lives and the coming judgment of God. Has not God promised that He will come and call everyone to account? He has. And most people do not want to think about the day that they will die. And I understand, it's not a pleasant thought. But for the believer, we shouldn't be like those without hope. For us, really, the sad part is just our family and friends and things that we feel like we left undone. But we'll be in glory with our God. What's the disappointment? What's the reluctancy? Paul didn't seem to be reluctant. He's like, if it's up to me, I'd rather just die now. I'll be with my Savior. But for y'all's sake, it's better. I can teach y'all some more stuff and God can use me for a while. But I'd rather just take off this earthly tent. You remember that discussion? The worshipers that died at the hands of Pilate, they're just regular sinners like the rest. Are they evil? Yes. Wicked? Yes. But no more wicked than everybody else who lived and were appalled at what happened. And these Galileans who seem to have died in a sudden and shocking way, Jesus warns them and us, repent or you will likewise perish. That seems sudden and shocking, so will your death and judgment be. Let this be an opportunity to wake you up. And then Jesus then shifts and he brings up another event that we really don't know much about at all historically. Apparently there was a tower, and the tower for some reason fell over. And either the people were inside the tower or close by to the tower, and when it fell over, the 18 people were killed. Don't know why it fell over. Poor construction? High winds? An earthquake, maybe? No way to know. Jesus doesn't tell us. But either way, his point is that the accident or the disaster that happened didn't happen because they were more wicked than the others. You see that? Verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? And the people, remembering this event, seems to be a current event, or at least fresh in their minds, they might have thought, probably they were worse sinners. Something terrible like that happening to them. Jesus says, no, I tell you. No. They weren't worse sinners. Things happen. Things happen. Your life is short. Unless you repent, you will perish as they did. If we think about these winds and rains and floods, people have lost their lives. People have lost everything. And as Edward mentioned, it is often a wake-up call, and God uses it. When things are at ease and comfort, we forget how short our lives are and how small we are. Jesus says, don't think that you're better than they are because this bad thing happened to them, but God spared you. All are caught up under sin. Repent, otherwise you will also perish. And listen, I hope that you'll listen. God has given us time to repent. You have heard the sound of the gospel. Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves. You have heard. You have opportunity to repent. But listen to me, friend. That time is limited. You have a limited amount of time to repent. It is not an unlimited amount of time. Jesus is telling them, you remember that bad thing that happened and that building fell on those people and killed them? And they thought they had more time than they actually ended up having. unless you repent, you will perish too. Repent when? Before the limited amount of time that you have to repent is over. Well, when is that time over? No man knows. No woman knows. Repent now. Today is the day of God's favor. Now is the time of God's salvation. He has given you opportunity to repent. You have heard the gospel clearly, potentially thousands of times. You have heard the gospel thousands of times. Take advantage of the time that God has given to you. Repent before it's too late. The opportune time for you to repent is not sometime in the future, but now. Does God have to bring a tornado over your house before you'll finally realize? Repent before it's too late. Be baptized. Join together with God's people. Even this church. Join with the church and proclaim the sacrificial life of Jesus. And proclaim His death until He comes. Waiting. Listen, it's a very, very precarious situation. You could get hit with a bus on the way home. You think you have a lot of time, but you don't. You have no idea. Why is God doing this? Is Florida exceedingly wicked? Maybe, but no more than we are. No more than our town, our state, our area. Is India right now? There's over 1,000 people that have been drowned in flooding recently in India. Are they more evil than we are? Maybe. Let me rephrase. Are they evil and wicked? Yes, all people are. But that's not necessarily why the flood is happening. But it's a good opportunity for all of us to think about it and say, this is going to happen to me. If not a flood, the flood of death is going to sweep me away at some point. Repent. Otherwise, you will perish. This is the warning and the promise of God, that those who believe in Him don't perish. But those who won't repent, who refuse, who judge themselves unworthy of eternal life, they perish. And Jesus' warning is, bad stuff happens. People die suddenly and even shockingly. But you will die too. Repent or you will perish. This is Acts chapter 2. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. What did they hear? They heard that Jesus was Lord, and that they had crucified the Lord even. And they said, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, what promise? The promise that if you repent, you will be forgiven. God is merciful. If you repent, He's not like humans that would still deny forgiveness when people repent. He is merciful. He forgives. The promise is for you, for your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord calls to Himself. And listen, with many other words He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Verse 41, those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. Those who received His word, they believed Him. They believed Him. The word that He told them was true. They received it. So here it is. our country, even the world, is always in the midst of some sort of natural disaster. At all times, really. As soon as one gets cleaned up, another one. We forget. You remember the tsunami that hit Indonesia? They said in some areas there was a wall of water 100 feet tall. And it hit the coast within 1 minute of the earthquake. 100 foot high wall of water. Over 220,000 people were killed in that tsunami. In a moment. Many of them vacationers, tourists, having a good time on their vacation. I'm not saying don't go on vacation. I'm saying whether you live or move or whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. Repent. Follow Him. If you received His word, you know right now you believe Him. You ought to follow Him and be obedient. Be baptized. If you don't want to join this church, find a church that you want to join. And be baptized and worship with them. It's right. It's wrong to be on the fence forever and ever and ever. Your time is limited. It is not unlimited. Repent. God is merciful. He will forgive you. Well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for good teachers before us. And Father, even so, we pray that You'd help us not to be arrogant, not to be wise in our own eyes about why You do this or that in the world. But Father, we know that You're good. We know that You are saving the world through Your Son, Jesus, and that these moments are an opportunity for us to reflect, to be in awe, to fear, even to wake us up, that we would repent, that we would follow You, that we would follow after Jesus with renewed passion. And we do pray for all these areas, not just in the Gulf Coast and Florida, but the fires in the Northwest and the earthquake in Mexico and various things all around the world that don't even get covered in our news cycle. Lord, we pray for them, especially for believers. Pray that You'd help them not to lose heart, but to believe You, to trust You. Even those saints that lose their lives, I pray for their families that they wouldn't despair, but that they would mourn with hope and with faith. And pray for the believers that will be ministering in these areas, for the literature that they'll pass out. Father, I pray that You would cause people to read them, that You would open their understanding to believe those things, and that they would believe and repent and follow You. Father, we pray for our church that You would help us to know how we might continue to help in various ways. And help us now as we go to worship. Prepare our minds to hear what it is that You have for us. Speak to us through our shepherd. And help us to do that which we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.